The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, I had two things in mind for today. One is to do a little bit of follow-up talk about the concentration series that I've done the last three Mondays I've been here. And then not speak for too long, but then have time for questions about that and anything else that you want to do. But also, it's kind of unusual to have so few people here on Mondays. And that provides us with an opportunity to do something a little bit more community building, kind of talking or something with each other or something. And so those are the two options. Do you have it's hard to ask, but do you have a preference which way we go? Those are the loudest voices. Yeah? So so let me start then by this way, that one of the really important things that I've learned or cultivated or developed through my Buddhist practice was a growing capacity for compassion and then a growing capacity for love. And it kind of happened in that order for me. And I wasn't looking for either one. I wasn't looking to increase my compassion. In fact, it had no interest for me. And but as I practiced, did a lot of practice, that's one of the consequences of doing that practice. I was changed in ways that I hadn't intended. And one of the ways was the growth of compassion. And I realized this after the fact, when I looked back over my early years of practice, I'm being compassionate. And that was a very important part of it. I'm very grateful for this, a very important part of who I am, what I became. And it certainly stands behind the motivation I have to do this work that I do, to be a Buddhist teacher and to teach. It was the compassion that grew in me over time. And then at some point, later, my capacity for love grew as well. And some of it certainly came out of the practice in a dramatic way. I remember when I was first introduced to the practice of loving kindness on retreat. I'd come out of a Zen practice where you don't do those sentimental things. And so I did a Vipassana practice and did this loving kindness stuff. So I mostly just tuned the teachers out. And I wasn't going to be part of this kind of mushy stuff. But lo and behold, as I went deep or went pretty thorough, wholeheartedly into the Vipassana practice, one of the surprises for me was that bubbling out of my heart, bubbling out of my interior, was a very strong feelings of loving kindness that didn't really necessarily have an object. It wasn't like originally directed towards anybody. It was just a strong feeling. And I was a little bit surprised. I wasn't looking or intending for that to happen. I had other things in mind for practice. And here this strong feeling of love and kindness and tenderness came up. And that became a very important part of my practice then, or my life since then. And then I think being a teacher and encountering people in so many different situations in life, so much suffering, so much joy, so much sincerity and dedication. And, I feel one of the privileges of being a teacher is I get to see how beautiful people are. Sometimes people come and tell me, Gil, you don't understand people because when they come to you, they always show you their best side. I think I can see through that, they're just showing their best side. I see everything. It's just dramatic what I see. So from that, I think has come a lot of care and love and compassion for people. Since I had kids, I've been around a lot of children and of all kinds of types of kids, and I've regularly, you know, seeing kids who have there's so much differences among kids, so many differences, and a regular refrain in my mind or my heart has been, you know, all you can do is love them. You know, what else is there to do but to love them for who they are? And so for me, I've learned a lot. I've been changed by love, by practice, by changed by love, by compassion. It's become an important part of my life as I've grown. And now I think, now it's kind of inconceivable to me that a path of liberation, a path of wisdom, would not include compassion and love as part of it. And that was kind of like what I was kind of, in a sense, you know, when I was ignoring compassion and loving kindness, I wasn't this like, you know, wisdom and liberation, you know, path. I thought I was, and so then this other thing happened to me, which and the two go hand in hand. I feel it's very important to see them together. So that was that's my introduction for what I thought we would do then here. Some people, and then we break up into groups to talk to each other, which is community building. Some people want to bolt, and you're welcome to bolt. You can bolt from IMC anytime you want. We're not holding you here. It's really a good thing to hang in there, because so many people here at IMC, when we've done these kinds of breaking into groups or into dyads and things, and they resist it, they inevitably at the end are glad they stayed for it and part of it. And there's a whole growth and training that happens about learning to speak to people. That's an important part of practice. Learn to speak to people from a practice point of view, a mindful way, and also to be able to engage with people in deeper kind of conversations around the theme that people than people often have in their normal life. And so we do that here at IMC on a kind of regular basis, not necessarily Monday night, because there's just so many people here. It's hard if so many people are talking. But on the Friday Dharma practice days, once a month, parts of the year, we have these days from 9:30 to 3:30, where we explore some particular theme, and in exploring that theme, we will sometimes break into small groups and have discussions, or into pair up or something. And it's been a very valuable training for some of the people here at IMC to go through these Dharma practice days and learn how to talk and communicate and share themselves in this way. So what I'd like to ask you to do then is to break up into groups of five. And then go around the group of five. Hopefully you'll forgive me if I say it this way. I've learned that maybe I need to say it in a way that gets your attention, people. Now, it's really important that you know how to count to five. It's usually one, two, three, four, five. You got that? Because I'll regularly say, let's break into groups of four or five or something. I'll say a number, right? And it's amazing how many people seemingly don't know how to count. And we have end up in groups of six when I want five, or groups of three when I say four. You know, all these, you know. And I don't think we have to do it together, right? So groups, try a group of five, and if you don't find a group of five easily, walk towards the front towards me, and then that you'll find each other as you bump, you know, walk to the front. You kind of, and then if there turns out to be not quite, in, you know, some multiple of five in the room here, then I will help us figure out what to do with that. I'll sort it out. Okay. So the theme in your groups of five is to begin with this question. What in the course of your lifetime, which is, you know, maybe long enough, what have you learned about love and compassion? Now, when you talk, I think it's important not to give a long story and take up a lot of time. A short story might be okay if it's important teaching about, but say what you've learned. And go around the circle, and if you come to around the circle, everyone, I think, will have been affected by what was said before. And then do it again, and see what comes out the second time. And you might, it might occur to you to say something different. And don't the first time go through the whole list of all the things you possibly could have learned over your lifetime. I mean, just say one or two things, kind of, and say something, offer something. What you're doing is offering something into the circle, and creating a circle, creating something together as a group of five. So you want to offer something, and listen really intently as other people speak. And when it comes back to your turn to offer a second time, offer something else about that topic. And then when other people speak, listen carefully. And listening carefully is important because that's how you're going to be affected by what's being said. And so you'll be surprised, perhaps the second time around, by what comes out of you. You'll get a new perspective or something, maybe. And you might do that, just going around two or three times until I ring a bell. This makes sense? And do you have any questions about it? So what have you learned about love and compassion? So why don't you form groups of five, and you can start. So was anyone happily surprised by some of the things that came out in that kind of conversation? And if so, would you be willing to share what that was? You can get them. It'd be nice for me to hear a little bit because I wasn't part of any of the groups.
Well, animals happen to be a very central theme in our group about how they brought that out and helped us develop compassion and love.
Nice.
And one person said, I thought I was going to be the only person that mentioned it, and it ended up almost everyone did.
And what is it about animals that brings out love and compassion?
Oh, well, for me, it's sort of a purity of spirit and lack of judgment. It's easier to love things if you don't feel like you're being judged.
That's what we think. Is she going to feed me? Thank you.
If no one else is going to go, I found a very common thread.
Is it on? Is a green light on?
Yes.
Okay, hold it close then.
Close.
Yes, there you go.
A common theme was that love as a basis of strength, allowing you to do things and sometimes putting things into perspective. It just gives a different, it helps give a great foundation for everything else you'd be built upon. And then from that, compassion allows you to connect with people in complete and total strangers across the planet. Uh-huh. You know, animals, non-sentient things, your jacket, you know, all these things in ways that you might not normally think possible.
Great, wonderful. So love as a basis for strength and for possibilities and connections all across the globe. Thank you. Any comments at all about doing the exercise, what came up for you, or what it was like, or any kind of debriefing, sharing, continuing thoughts you might have? If you could.
I loved the experience. one person in our group talked about if you get to know somebody, you know, it's easy to love them, or that's the basis of love, getting to really know somebody. So to get to know, you know, five other people, even for a short time, I mean, I'm going to love these guys, you know. So, yeah, it was a valuable experience. Yeah.
I think it's really interesting. If you have the right topic of conversation, the right focus, you can get deeply connected to even strangers very quickly and have very strong feelings for them, and, you know, open the heart in beautiful ways. And it doesn't take much. But how often do we allow that to happen as we go about our life? Turn around to the other person waiting in Safeway, in line behind you, and what have you learned about love? It would be a very different world. I suppose it doesn't work so easily. So we come here and it's safe to do it. Other thoughts? We have a couple of minutes left.
I thought it was very wonderful to see in our little group how it was very, very short. I mean, I don't know how many minutes we were talking, but as the minutes went by, I could feel a lift in everyone's mood, and the loving kindness was actually going around in a very palpable way. So it's very nice.
Great, thank you.
Kind of question.
Yes.
Can't hear me? In order to experience love and compassion in the general public, I mean, do we have to behave in a certain way, you know, walk a certain way, look a certain way?
In order to love?
How can this manifest?
I think, I don't know. I mean, the question is, if you want to manifest love as you go about in society, is that the question is? You want to have love? Or you want to experience love, receive love.
If you're being loving,
yes,
and compassionate, if, as you move through life,
yes,
you know, I mean, is there a way to walk? Is there a way? Is there? No, I don't mean it facetiously. Is there a way to talk? You know, is there
well,
a way?
I don't
to
know.
Dress? You know,
I wouldn't want to limit it or define it too carefully. I almost prefer to define it by what you don't do. You wouldn't swear at people. You wouldn't steal from them. You wouldn't, lie to them and take advantage of them. You get this. A lot of things you wouldn't do, but actually, what the activity of loving would actually look like, if positive, you know, I'm reluctant to define it, the activity, because in different situations it would look very different. And as soon as you have some idea you're supposed to be loving in a particular way, then people start conforming, and I'd rather have it just be discovered in the process. What's in different situations requires different things. You know, like today I discovered that with my 9-year-old son, I didn't discover this until I came home, but for me to have a loving connection with him today, what was required was playing badminton with him. You know, and he wasn't very good. So hanging in there and playing with him was, you know, a beautiful, lovely thing, and nice connection between the two of us. And so that's the form it took there. If I had a different idea of what love with my son was going to look like, you know, you're going to sit next to me, I'm going to read a book to you. You know, and I probably would have missed him, but this is what he wanted to do. I think one of the things that it requires is wanting to, and keeping it close enough to the heart, or being close enough connected to the intention, and being mindful enough to know when that intention gets clouded over by other things. If you can catch those clouds, then maybe you can clear them. So I think it helps to stay mindful. And that was the second question. If we had more time, I was going to ask, have you discuss. And the second question I'll let you go home with, and you can reflect on and turn to someone in Safeway and ask them. And that is, how does mindfulness support compassion and love? What role does mindfulness have for the presence, the cultivation, the manifestation of love and compassion in our lives? So what have you understood it so far about the role of mindfulness? Okay, well, thank you very much. I was glad that we had the chance to do this, and it's been something I want to do more often, but as I said earlier, I'm reluctant to do it when the room is really full, because it starts sounding like a cocktail party here. But this was a good number today to do it, so thank you for participating, and I do hope it helps create a little more sense of community here among the people. And if you didn't introduce yourself by name during your group, please do that before you leave. It's a nice thing to do. So thank you.